Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Imagine Danny and Dusty wearing kilts.
First things first, where's your at?
And it's windy.
I've got a turtle head poking out.
It's Open Championship Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080. The Fan.
Sorry.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a wonderful Chuck's Watch Thursday afternoon. It's going to take me even longer to get back on the not knowing the days. Dusty out today, maybe back tomorrow. Will Ortner and Jeff Rust behind the glass. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, we appreciate you. We love you. And we remind you that gambling advice is prevented for entertainment purposes only, except in this one particular case, which is do not waste your money betting on Bronny James unless you're taking the unders.
I don't think that you can bet on the unders. That's
buddy, you can bet on Jonte Porter, so you damn sure better believe you can bet on Bronny James. Bronny James has become a popular betting pick for Rookie of the Year. Why? This is how those places in Vegas get built. People are stupid. Right now, your betting favorite, which I'm not sure I believe, is Zach Edey at plus 500.
I don't get that one either.
I think he's got a good chance because Memphis is going to be a good team, and there's a good chance he's going to start. Now, do they start Jaren Jackson instead, and Edey is more like a 20-a-minute kind of guy as he kind of figures some stuff out? We'll see. But kind of going through the group of rookies here, Edey is plus 550. Reed Sheppard of the Rockets is plus 650, number one overall pick of the Atlanta Hawks. Zachary Risache, plus 800. Dalton Connect of the Lakers at plus 850. And the reason he is so high is because he plays for the Lakers. He'll be on national TV a ton. He'll be in the zeitgeist, and he's going to get that bump. Number two overall pick, Alex Saar, plus 900. Bulls pick at number 11, Modest Puzelis. Number four overall pick, and honestly, I would say would present to me the most value in this, is UConn, or Donovan Cleveland's UConn teammate, Stephon Castle, plus 1,000. In fact, after I get the commercial break, I might go search that one out. Plus 1,000 for Steph Castle feels pretty good. And that Spurs team is going to be better than people think. Mm-hmm. Bub Carrington at 14 is at plus 1,400. Rob Dillingham also at plus 1,400. Ron Holland, plus 1,400. Cody Williams of the Utah Jazz, plus 1,800. And Trailblazers big man Donovan Klingon at plus 2,000. I don't think Klingon has a good chance, even if his defensive numbers are crazy good. I don't think the minutes are going to be there, and I don't think the offense is going to be there. But if you heard me say Donovan Klingon at plus 2,000, you're like, huh, he said Bronny James, and he still hasn't said his name. That's because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players in front of him on ESPN Bet's prop board.
And he's still the number two bet prospect.
At plus 15,000.
Why are people dumb?
How long was he the favorite to, or at least for, not the favorite, but the most tickets, the most money was placed on him to be the number one overall pick?
Yep.
Because people are dumb. Look, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus because it's just not worth it. There are people that are respected draft insiders and experts, reporters, who around Bronny's return said it wouldn't be surprising to see Bronny go in the top 10.
There was a point where he was listed in the top 10 for the mock drafts.
Yes, and he never, ever, 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 ever should have been. That is not hindsight. That is a look at the nasty side of the business.
That's just dumb.
It's not even dumb. It's being willfully obtuse.
Well, it also shows the power, because it's either LeBron has, quote unquote, forced you.
Oh, there's influence. There's influence there.
Or you're doing it because you don't want to upset LeBron.
Yeah. Which Jaylen Brown did, and he had to walk that one back the next day.
Right. With, I don't know how to pronounce
that. Kaiser.
Thank you. Kaiser and Angel Reese.
Yes.
Which, and that one, I feel bad for Jaylen Brown, because I don't feel like
he has said the exact same thing that front office executives, scouts, coaches, other media people have told me word for word, bar for bar.
Well, if like he cracked the mic and was like, hey, he's not a pro, and like was going out and doing it, he got caught on a random camera having a conversation with two girls who play, two women, who play basketball.
Play to win the game.
They play basketball. So I don't really feel like that's fair. That being said, who are the idiots who are placing money on Bronny? Like, are you not paying attention at all? Are you not listening to anybody else?
They're the same ones who built Las Vegas, or helped buy build Las Vegas.
I can be a dumb gambler at times, but at least there's some background and reasoning into my bets. There's research done. Why are you just throwing Bronny?
There's no value in this because he has a 0% chance of winning. He has a 0% chance of winning.
He will not win it.
No.
Won't be in the top five.
No matter, honestly, he probably won't be in the top 10 when it's all said and done. If his name was Bronny or Brandon James instead of LeBron James or Brandon Anderson, you would not know who he is.
I know Brandon Anderson.
He would be a 4-star prospect.
I went to school with Brandon Anderson.
He's a totally fine and capable player.
Yeah, he's fine.
So I had somebody ask me the other day, you know, where do you think he is as far as NBA readiness, offensively and defensively, on a scale of 1 to 10? I said offensively 1, defensively a 4 or 5. Like, he's a capable defender. He's not coming into the league and you're going, that dude is a... It's not Tumani last year. Where you're
right.
Like, no, he can defend on the NBA, like, not in a good, like a good defender. He's like a very, like a legitimately very good defender from the jump. And he doesn't have all these tools. Like, well, he's athletic. It's like, he's at a 40-inch vertical. And I'm like, cool, he's still 6'1".
Right.
Like, there's no getting around that. He's not his dad. He's not 6'8". Mm-hmm. Now, Bryce is significantly bigger and more athletic, and he's the better prospect. Like, that, yeah, okay. Like, Bryce is going to be a better player than Bronny. Like, that's pretty easily to say at this point.
Right.
But this whole idea of, like, well, you guys need to stop pretending and acting like this. Like, the reason people are doing this is because it's literally being shoved down their throats. NBA Today's opening segment, as we're getting ready for our show, it starts at the same time. I'm sitting here watching, in 53 seconds, Bronny James is the hottest ticket for Rookie of the Year. That was the lead-in to NBA Today today.
Is it just, it's because they are going to get listens, and they're going to get clicks, and that's why it is what it is.
But that's exactly the problem.
It's why people are picking him to be the MVP. It's probably why people every single year bet the Yankees to win the World Series, or the Lakers.
That actually has, like, that has a basis in reality. You're looking at a Lakers team or a Yankees team that is spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year.
Betting, but like this next year, if you bet the Lakers to win the NBA championship, you're delusional.
Idiot. You're an idiot.
It's the same idea.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, Las Vegas loves having people from LA come make the 3-hour drive because they come and they waste money there. The last long shot that like legitimately paid out that I can remember outside of like horse racing was Leicester City when in Premier League and was it 2016?
Yeah.
They were, I want to say they're plus 20,000. To win the Prem that year. And there was a guy that did put like a 500 pound or 500 sterling bet on that. Quite the payday.
You know what? Joe Burrow, too. Now that you say that, Joe Burrow's dad, he put money on him to win the Heisman.
That's right.
He was. So there's your like individual player long shot.
Yeah, but even then, where was he at?
He was at LSU, and before that, he was at Ohio State, and he was a big-time prospect.
And nobody was questioning whether or not Joe Burrow was a good prospect.
He was a good player that had some things he needed to fix, and then he blew up.
Yeah. So, if you want to go to Vegas and waste your money, there you go. Or online.
Or give it to me.
However you want to do it.
I'll invest better.
Will you?
Yeah, I got a guy.
Okay. Coming up next, the Cincinnati Bengals. Getting it right? Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm just letting this song play.
It's a good one.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Jay-Z, to my generation, is a little underrated. We missed the Black Album.
How?
Black Album came out in like 2001.
When were you born?
1997.
Oh, okay. God, I forget how much younger you actually are.
Yeah, no, like, I think Gen Z, like, I like Jay-Z, but, like, a lot of my Jay-Z knowledge comes from, like, Holy Grail, or not Holy Grail, but Magna Carta, that album.
Same here.
Watch the Throne. They're good. They're good albums. Okay. You should listen to them. They're very good.
Oh, are they?
What's the Run This, the one that Run This Town Tonight is on?
Yeah, I got nothing.
They're good albums, man. I like Jay-Z. You just miss out on the, like, the 90s Jay-Z at my age. The Black Album.
Go on.
And Blueprint.
Okay.
Well, look, and I'm not going to lie. I'm just one of those, even for stuff that I do know, music that I do like and appreciate, most of the stuff I couldn't tell you, like, what album a track is off of.
I couldn't tell you the tracks, but I can picture the albums in my head because I had them on my iPod Shuffle.
Okay. That's
Talking Jay-Z with Will.
Talking Jay-Z with Will. That's a thing.
Are you anti-Jay-Z?
No, I love Jay-Z. I don't know if you're the Jay-Z historian we should go to here.
No, I just got put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's like when somebody your age tells me Drake is the greatest rapper of all time.
I've never made a claim to take a header off a bridge. Well, he just lost to Kendrick. So.
Yeah. There you go. I'm babe. There were still some Raptors fans that were in their feelings at Summer League about that.
Well, they have to be.
I mean, like, do you?
People get in their feelings all the time about their favorite athletes. They're going to do the same thing for their favorite actors, actresses, musicians.
I mean, like, you take the L, you take the L.
Look, even as somebody watching on the outside in from this, you know, I'm not exactly the biggest hip hop fan here. But yeah, how is it that Drake ever had like any sort of street cred after being on Degrassi Junior High and being a Nickelodeon
in a wheelchair
youth star?
He didn't really claim a lot of street cred, though.
Well, but
he claimed like he had friends who had street cred.
Tangential. Speaking of friends with street cred, the Cincinnati Bengals have decided to actually go past the friends with benefits situation, perhaps, that they've had with their former players. I don't know if you know this, but the Brown family, notoriously really crappy.
Yeah.
Cheap and maniacal about previous players that have played for them.
Remember in Hard Knocks when they had to walk across the highway so that they could go and practice?
Yeah. Also, just really crappy with their former great players, and they don't have a ton of them. If you remember, there was a little hullabaloo as they put Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson's number up in the Ring of Honor. They also took forever with Anthony Munoz, if I remember right. Yeah. At the time, I remember this is like one of the first things Dusty and I ever talked about on the show was 2 years ago when they did Ocho Cinco. Mm-hmm. It was around this time in the summer. It was like, are they ever going to get to Corey Dillon? Because in the pantheon of players that have played for the Cincinnati Bengals, it's Chad Johnson, Corey Dillon, and Anthony Munoz. Like, that's the list. Mm-hmm. If you want to be like Carson Palmer, okay, yeah, like, that's your Mount Rushmore. Like, that's how bad that franchise has been.
Right. Not good.
Your all-time passing leader is Ken Anderson. Your all-time rusher is Corey Dillon. Your all-time receiver is Chad Johnson. And your, according to Pro Football Reference, your all-time AV, your average value, belongs to Anthony Munoz. And your winningest coach is, what, over 500, Marvin Lewis.
Yeah. Not good.
Not a lot of prestige in the old Bungles. So you would think that they would take every opportunity they could to celebrate like those that were good.
Mm.
And it appears that the Bengals are actually going to go ahead and do it. If you remember, the end of Corey Dillon's career in 2003 ended with him throwing his pads into the stands and then getting traded.
He went full Antonio Brown?
Yeah, but his was after the game as opposed to during the game.
In the middle of a play?
Yeah. He had, at that point in time, had the most rushing yards in a game, 278 yards.
Pretty good.
And he amassed over 6 years, 8,000 yards.
That sounds like a pretty good stat. That's pretty decent. Did well.
That's really good. It's like his career, he ended up over 10,000 yards.
Which you're not going to see much anymore.
11,241 yards, 82 touchdowns.
And they're finally getting around to memorializing.
Highlighting his career.
Highlighting. That's a better
term. Listen, this is what he did. His rookie year, he played in 16 games, but only started six, ran for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns.
It's pretty good. What was he averaging a carry? Like, what was he carry-wise that season?
Total carries, 233. So it's 4.8.
I was going to say that. Well, one, that's a great average, but that's a lot of carries in today's game. So slightly different, but yes, but different again, time. Okay, yep.
Next.
20th all-time in career rushing yards, sandwiched between John Riggins and O.J. Simpson.
Like, again, historical context, he was a hell of a running back.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good running back.
Okay, so the next year, so this is actually what's crazy. In one less game, he ran for exactly one more yard. He went from 1129 to 1130. The next year, in 15 games, 1200 yards on the dot. Mm-hmm. The next year, 1435 in 16 games. The next year, 1300 yards in 16 games. The next year, 1300 yards in 16 games.
And that's all with the Bengals?
That's six straight years with the Bengals.
You're right. I don't think that they should care about him.
Like, that is...
He sucks.
That is an absolutely incredible run. And he wasn't like a massive receiver.
A couple of them.
Right? A couple of massive runs in there. He was about 250 yards receiving each year, too.
Yeah.
Like, nothing crazy, but, you know, a catch here or there. But you're looking like his total yardage, he's 1,400 to 1,500 yards of total offense a year on a Bengals team. Mm-hmm. Like, that, and that was the first, like, good team they ever had. The Corey Dillon, Ocho Cinco, Carson Palmer group was like, oh, this is a functional football team.
Not just a functional football team, a team that can get into the playoffs and possibly win playoff games. Probably should have.
God, it's the
If Kimo Von Ohoffen doesn't blow out Palmer's knee.
You had your what? Was that the 85 Super Bowl where they played the Niners?
The Ken Anderson team, yeah.
Yeah.
Not 85 because that's the Bears.
Well, that was the 85 Bears playing in the 86 Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
But it was somewhere right around there. Yeah, like 84 season. 84
well, Bowl. Weren't they good? Didn't they? Did they have Sims? Who was their quarterback that they had that was decent, that does TV now on CBS? They have Sims?
No, Sims was Giants.
No, I'm thinking.
Boomer?
Boomer Esiason?
Thank you, Boomer.
Yeah.
Boomer. They were good with Boomer, right?
They were never, I mean.
They were okay.
Okay.
Did they go to two Super Bowls against the Niners? Yeah. So he was Boomer was the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like in the modern era, like that's it. Until that's why Burrow has been so important.
That's why they love him. Well, I mean, yes. As good as Burrow has been, though, they've built around him fairly well. And Taylor's a very competent
coach
and hire. Like they're a good team. Even last year with Burrow being hurt, they still did really well. I mean, obviously they didn't make the playoffs. You're not going to make the playoffs when your number one quarterback, who's a top five quarterback minimum in the league, gets hurt. But it also shows you how long you can be stuck in futility if you have bad ownership.
Coming back to how this all happened, 2021 was when the Ring of Honor debuted, and then they put Munoz up in there. Dillon was critical of the selection process for the Ring of Honor. He told The Athletic at the time that his omission was damn near criminal, and he was sure they would put John effing Kitna in there before him.
Hey, no bad words about John Kitna.
Where'd he go to
Central
college?
Washington great John Kitna. His jersey is hung in our rafters.
The Bengals season ticket holders were basically the ones that were made.
That finally forced
it. They were like, yeah, you need to have the best running back in our franchise's history in the Ring of Honor. Dillon said he got the news after he missed a call from a Cincinnati area code. When he checked, it was Brown, Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, informing him of the honor, which he then had a return call, a phone call with. And he has been active both during his career and post-career, about trashing the Brown family. They did not win more than 8 games when he was in Cincinnati.
Wow. Yeah, I'd be upset too. But there's a reason for that, because the Brown family understands that the team as an asset is where they make their money, and they don't care about winning or losing, which is why Dillon should be upset with them.
He said, "We had a beautiful conversation, man. It was a long time coming. I'll say that much." In a statement released by the team, Brown praised Dillon for his toughness and durability. They also have Crumry in there as well, who played from Cincinnati from 83 to 84. He's 2-time Pro Bowler, first team AP All-Pro in 88.
Yeah, Crumry was the guy who had his leg turned into a spaghetti noodle in the Super Bowl.
The severely broken leg.
Yeah.
You.
So I guess good for the Bengals for finally getting it right. That's kind of been like my view of the Bengals since they drafted Joe Burrow.
Like, they finally got it right.
Well, it's not for like they're trying to get it right. It's like they fall face first into getting
they
it right.
They accidentally get it right. I'll tell you what. Corey Dillon has a great nickname.
What do they have it as?
clock killing Corey Dillon.
There you go.
That's amazing.
It's a good one.
It doesn't get better than that.
Do they have the nicknames listed? No, they do.
Yeah, clock killing Corey Dillon.
That's pretty good. CKCD.
Great one. Did he win one in New England?
Yeah.
He won the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
04.
Wow. I did not give Corey Dillon enough credit. He's awesome.
No, he's a really good running back.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hard with those Huskies.
I mean, in 04, he ran for 1,600 yards.
Pretty
with
decent.
With the Patriots.
Good little player. Good little player.
It's also insane when you look at his carries. He had 345 carries.
I wonder who led the league last year in carries.
It's a good question. I bet you it's McCaffrey?
No. I bet you it's like Derrick Henry or something.
It's not Jacobs because he didn't get the ball the first four games of the season.
Right, I'm pulling it up. No, right
I'm purposely stalling to see.
I was going to say it's not McCaffrey.
Are you sure?
No, it's not. Well, I want to let me.
Maybe he led the league in touches.
He definitely led it.
I think he led it in touches. That's what I'm thinking of.
Derrick Henry.
Was it Derrick? Okay.
Guess how many? I already gave you the first number.
227.
280.
Oh wow, that's higher than I thought.
280.
That's still nothing though.
McCaffrey. 272. So you were in the ballpark.
Yeah, no, he's right there.
Right.
Yeah, here's one, two, three, four times that Dillon had more than that, and not one of those did he lead the NFL in carries.
It's crazy.
Yeah, 345, 314, 340,
315. Shows you how football's changed.
Yeah, you're talking, 100 more carries roughly.
Well, and how many years was he the NFL leading rusher? Because if you look, not once
with a 1,600 total yards, he did not lead the NFL in rushing.
CMC led the NFL in rushing this year with 1,400. The next closest person to him was Derrick Henry at 11.
Curtis Martin led the NFL in rushing in 2004 with the Jets. How many yards?
Just under 2,000.
1,697.
Shows you the way that the game has changed, though. The running back position just isn't viewed and used the way that it used to be.
Had your bell cows.
Yeah, well, and now, I mean, like, McCaffrey is, he's a unicorn. He's his own thing. But I think a lot of teams want more of, I mean, they're built in his mold, but I want a guy that I'm going to give the ball to 200 times, but he's still going to catch another 50 to 60 out of the backfield. I mean, you can look at the greatest PPR player for fantasy football was Alvin Kamara for so long because you knew he was going to get 20 touches,
yeah,
but he was going to carry the ball 10 times a game and then he was going to get 10 catches. Yeah. You were guaranteed 10 points just off of what they did and how they used him. And that's how you're going to see more of these running backs come into the fold. But that's also why they're never going to pay Austin Eckler because you don't need the bell cow
that's
going to run for a bunch of yards. You need a guy that you can use for...
Or in Austin Eckler's case, the three-legged cow because his leg's about to fall off.
He's also always hurt. Yeah. But that's that Western Colorado D2 type of football player. Not at Central.
Wow.
We beat them.
Wow.
And they suck at football.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about some more D2 football. No, we won't. I'm not going to do that.
We're going to break down who's going to win this year. Harding?
Instead, we are going to look at what the NFL draft meant for the city of Detroit. They didn't have to go all RoboCop. There was money there. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Well, if you remember the NFL draft, you saw the absolute mass of humanity that descended on Detroit for the multi-day coverage. There was the security photos that Dusty was enamored by over and over again. He's like, how do you estimate just how many people are there? And you just kind of know how many people are in a kind of a general region.
Make a guess.
I mean, it ended up being a couple million people that came through the city. That's how insane it got. Wow. They had upwards of, I want to say it was 400,000 people come through on draft day.
Well, I mean, the one picture on night one, it's like they have the whole area, like this is where all the fans will be for the draft. And then it goes for another like 10 blocks.
I mean, it was a mass of humanity. It was, it was so many people. Joe Pompliano, who has a bunch of news and notes as it pertains to business of sports, has a photo from like the top down, like basically above where McAfee was filming.
Right.
And if you remember when the Lions came back on the clock late in the day on day one, all of the people that came running back up to the stage
exploded.
As you could see, the McAfee crowd was either intoxicated and or high.
Yes. The answer to that question is yes.
A lot of dry eyes. That was definitely you needed a Ben Stein to sponsor that segment from McAfee. But this is the total economic impact, according to Joe Pompliano and the research data he has. Total economic impact of people coming into town, $213 million generated.
That's insane. Insane.
$161 million came from out-of-towners. There was 50 million viewers on TV. 30% of all attendees traveled more than 100-plus miles.
They had, what, 775,000 in the downtown footprint of Detroit?
Yes. Fans from all 50 states and more than 20 countries attended the draft. One fan came 11,000-plus miles from Australia. Australia to Detroit is probably about as far apart geographically as you can get.
It's a pretty far walk.
I mean, you can't even use it on Google Maps anymore. Do you remember that? Back in the day, I used to love that.
That was the best thing ever.
It would go like this straight line through the water, and then they just stopped doing it because like they're like, well, you can't actually do that. It's like
a bunch of nerds.
Well, you could if you go out there and
if you were a hippo,
Wilson this thing.
Wilson. I've seen that.
Hotel occupancy rates ranged from 74% on Saturday to 92% on Thursday during the NFL draft, meaning basically almost all of the rooms in the entire city were full.
That's awesome. But that's why the NFL started moving the draft around. One, because then they can start checking off boxes of places that they will never bring the Super Bowl to, and so they don't have to pretend like they're going to bring the Super Bowl to them. But also, this is why cities, Seattle, should be demanding that they get the draft. It's a big deal and people care.
Right now, Seattle should host the draft.
Yeah, because Seattle's not, you're not getting a Super Bowl.
Think about
you're
Seattle.
You're not playing a Super Bowl there.
Think about Seattle in what, late April?
It's beautiful.
I mean, it could be crappy. Could be crappy.
It could be beautiful.
But it could also be a really, really, really nice spring day. Mm-hmm. And you've got two stadiums to work with. You've got the entire downtown area to work with. You've got all of the right. rapid transit. You've got all of the hotels. You've got the
you got Pike's Place. There's all kinds
of stuff
to
do. The water right there. You can mm-hmm. do a little what do they call it? Not the tailgating on boats. The sailgating.
Oh, sailgating. Yep. Totally.
There's so many different. I could see this event crushing in Seattle.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Seattle's not getting a Super Bowl. You're just unequivocally not. You're not a Super Bowl city, first of all. And second of all, they're
Nobody
not going
to be in Seattle in February.
You're not. They don't want it.
Keep the Super Bowl. Look.
The Super Bowl needs to be in a sunny spot.
This may be a controversial take to some people. Keep the Super Bowl. Look, this is me. Go ahead and grab this one, Jeff. I'm pro-segregation in the sense of keep. This is broke, Jeff. Keep the Super Bowl below the Mason-Dixon line. I love white.
I'm not going to go that far. Yeah. I am
keep the Super Bowl below the Mason-Dixon line.
I am pro the Super Bowl being in a place that can't be affected, the outcome of it, by weather. So go sunny. And then use the draft. Look, you want to push it to May anyways. Push it to May, the first weekend of May. Push it to May and make it, you know, in the cold weather areas. This is perfect for Detroit. I know Detroit has had a Super Bowl or two. But they're probably not going to have many more because they want it in those sunnier spots. They want it in Vegas. They want it down in Louisiana. They want it in Atlanta. They want it in Texas, LA. Use this to generate money for your other cold weather spots.
This is your Cincinnati's, your Seattle's, your Detroit's.
Chicago.
Minnesota, Green Bay. I bet you a draft in Green Bay.
I bet it goes nuts.
Would go bonkers.
Do you have to move it to Milwaukee, though?
Probably.
But still, it goes nuts. Yeah. And it probably links with some sort of NBA playoff thing, depending on the year that you do it. I mean, you'd have to do it like within the next two or three years.
Pretty quickly. But honestly, go anywhere but New York.
Yeah. New York New York had it for so long.
That's what I'm saying. Like put this on like a barnstorming thing.
That's so crazy. The tax impact from all the visitors spending was about $12 million
over the course of a couple of days.
$12 million.
That's a hell of a windfall.
That's awesome. But it's also awesome for the city. Mm-hmm. It's awesome for the businesses down there.
Yeah.
It's laid out perfect. I mean, that's great.
The NFL does this in the sense of like, they go, hey, bring in money. And that's what they do because their audience is going to go somewhere and they're going to spend money.
It's why they're the Kings.
Yeah. You know who else is the king?
L.A.?
Well, no.
LeBron? Felix?
You're close with it. You said L.A. Lane Kiffin.
That's right.
Lane Kiffin and others took turns beating up on Paul Feinbaum, and we're going to have some fun with that coming up next year on Andy Dusty, Tonight the Fan. It's College World Media Days, and SEC Media Days are firmly and totally underway. And along with that means the machine that is Paul Feinbaum is getting all his takes out across college football, including taking his shots at Lincoln Riley.
I think he has an enormous amount to prove because, quite frankly, Jay, I think he's been a disaster. Let's go back 3 years. Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. It was announced at this moment in time. What did Lincoln Riley do? In a way, he did not want to deal with the Southeastern Conference at OU. He took what he thought was an easier course, so he goes out to Southern Cal. He takes Caleb Williams. Good first year, but since then, everything has gone wrong. I thought last year was one of the worst coaching jobs I have ever seen. Quite frankly, had I been the athletic director at Southern Cal, I would have fired Lincoln Riley because he's yet to show, after many years as a head coach, he knows anything about defense. He's gone through defensive coordinators. He just simply couldn't handle it. And now things are going to be 5 times worse in the Big Ten. On top of that, a number of his top players are bailing out. This is a guy who owned L.A. for about a half a minute. And quite frankly, next year at this time, I think he'll more than likely be an assistant in the NFL if he's that lucky.
The first year was kind of okay. He went 11-2 and then lost in the Cotton Bowl, which
was in the Pac-12. Title game.
Well, hey, nobody likes to listen to Paul Feinbaum quite like Paul Feinbaum.
I have my, and then everything went wrong at USC and they went 8-5.
Well, look, has Lincoln Riley been everything that USC expected right away? No, not necessarily. Has he been 85% of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been. Also, Paul Feinbaum, where do you do your show from? Oh, you do it from the South?
Yeah.
Oh, all you
wants nothing to do with Oklahoma or Texas, which Paul Feinbaum didn't want anything to do with until they joined the SEC.
Yeah, you're also like, hold on, wait. He left because he was scared of the SEC. They just got there. Yeah. He didn't take Caleb Williams with him because he wasn't going to handle the SEC. He got an offer to go to USC and live on the beach.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Have you seen his house?
It's beautiful. And guess what? Something tells me he doesn't pay for a lot of it.
Probably not.
Yes.
You know what? No, there wasn't.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, if you remember the NFL draft, you saw the absolute mass of humanity that descended on Detroit. For the multi-day coverage, there was the security photos that Dusty was enamored by over and over again. He's like, how do you estimate just how many people are there? And you just kind of know how many people are in a kind of a general region.
Make a guess.
I mean, it ended up being a couple million people that came through the city. That's how insane it got. Mm-hmm. They had upwards of, I want to say it was 400,000 people come through on draft day.
Well, I mean, the one picture on night one, it's like they have the whole area, like this is where all the fans will be for the draft. Mm-hmm. And then it goes for another like 10 blocks.
I mean, it was a mass of humanity. It was, oh, yeah. It was so many people. Joe Pompliano, who has a bunch of news and notes as it pertains to business of sports, has a photo from like the top down, like basically above where McAfee was filming.
Right.
And if you remember when the Lions came back on the clock late in the day on day one, all of the people that came running back up to the stage.
It exploded.
As you could see, the McAfee crowd was either intoxicated and or high.
Yes. The answer to that question is yes.
A lot of dry eyes. That was definitely a you needed a Ben Stein to sponsor that segment from McAfee. But this is the total economic impact, according to Joe Pompliano and then the research data he has. Total economic impact of people coming into town, $213 million generated.
That's insane. Insane.
$161 million came from out-of-towners. There was 50 million viewers on TV. 30% of all attendees traveled more than 100-plus miles.
They had, what, 775,000 in the downtown footprint of Detroit?
Yes. Fans from all 50 states and more than 20 countries attended the draft. One fan came 11,000-plus miles from Australia. Australia to Detroit is probably about as far apart geographically as you can get.
It's a pretty far walk.
I mean, you can't even use it on Google Maps anymore. You remember that? Back in the day, you used to be able to have...
I used to love that. That was the best thing ever.
It would go like this straight line through the water, and then they just stopped doing it because like they're like, well, you can't actually do that. It's like...
Bunch of nerds.
Well, you could if you go out there and...
If you were a hippo.
Wilson this thing.
Wilson! I've seen that.
Hotel occupancy rates ranged from 74% on Saturday to 92% on Thursday during the NFL draft, meaning basically almost all of the rooms in the entire city were full.
That's awesome. But that's why the NFL started moving the draft around. One, because then they can start checking off boxes of places that they will never bring the Super Bowl to, and so they don't have to pretend like they're going to bring the Super mm-hmm. Bowl to them. But also, this is why cities, Seattle, should be demanding yes. that they get the draft. It's a big deal and people care. I will
say right now, Seattle should host the draft.
Yeah, because Seattle's not, you're not getting a Super Bowl.
Think about
you're
Seattle.
You're not playing a Super Bowl there.
Think about Seattle in, what, late April?
It's beautiful.
I mean, it could be crappy. Could be crappy.
It could be beautiful.
But it could also be a really, really, really nice spring day. Mm-hmm. And you've got two stadiums to work with. You've got the entire downtown area to work with. You've got all of the right. rapid transit. You've got all of the hotels. You've got the
you got Pike's Place. There's all kinds
of stuff
to
do. The water right there. You can mm-hmm. do a little, what do they call it? Not the tailgating on boats. The sailgating.
Oh, sailgating. Yep. Totally.
There's so many different. I could see this event crushing. crushing in Seattle.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Seattle's not getting a Super Bowl. You're just unequivocally not. You're not a Super Bowl city, first of all. And second of all, they're
Nobody
not going
to be in Seattle in February.
You're not. They don't want it.
Keep the Super
Bowl.
Look.
The Super Bowl needs to be in a sunny spot.
This may be a controversial take to some people. Keep the Super Bowl. Look, this is me. Go ahead and grab this one, Jeff. I'm pro-segregation in the sense of keep... this broke, Jeff. Keep the Super Bowl below the Mason-Dixon line. I love white.
I'm not going to go that far. Yeah.
Keep the Super Bowl below the Mason-Dixon line.
I am pro the Super Bowl being in a place that can't be affected, the outcome of it, by weather. So go sunny. And then use the draft. Look, you want to push it to May anyways. Push it to May, the first weekend of May. Push it to May and make it, you know, in the cold weather areas. This is perfect for Detroit. I know Detroit has had a Super Bowl or two, but they're probably not going to have many more because they want it in those sunnier spots. They want it in Vegas. They want it down in Louisiana. They want it in Atlanta. They want it in Texas, LA. Use this to generate money for your other cold weather spots.
This is your Cincinnati's, your Seattle's, your Detroit's.
Chicago.
Minnesota, Green Bay. I bet you a draft in Green Bay.
I bet it goes nuts.
Would go bonkers.
Do you have to move it to Milwaukee, though?
Probably.
But still, it goes nuts. Yeah. And it probably links with some sort of NBA playoff thing, depending on the year that you do it. I mean, you'd have to do it like within the next two or three years.
Pretty quickly. But honestly, go anywhere but New York.
Yeah. New York had it for so long.
That's what I'm saying. Like put this on like a barnstorming thing.
That's so crazy. The tax impact from all the visitor spending was about $12
million. Over the course of a couple days.
$12 million?
That's a hell of a windfall.
That's awesome. But it's also awesome for the city. Mm-hmm. It's awesome for the businesses down there.
Yeah.
It's laid out perfect. I mean, that's great.
The NFL does this in the sense of like, they go, hey, bring in money. And that's what they do because their audience is going to go somewhere and they're going to spend money.
It's why they're the kings.
Yeah. You know who else is the king?
L.A.?
Well, no.
LeBron? Felix?
You're close with it and you said L.A., Lane Kiffin.
That's right.
Lane Kiffin and others took turns beating up on Paul Feinbaum, and we're going to have some fun with that. Come over next year on Andy Dusty, Today the Fan. It's College Football Media Days, and SEC Media Days are firmly and totally underway. And along with that means the machine that is Paul Feinbaum is getting all his takes out across college football, including taking his shots at Lincoln Riley.
I think he has an enormous amount to prove because, quite frankly, Jay, I think he's been a disaster. Let's go back 3 years. Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. It was announced at this moment in time. What did Lincoln Riley do? In a way, he did not want to deal with the Southeastern Conference at OU. He took what he thought was an easier course. So he goes out to Southern Cal. He takes Caleb Williams. Good first year, but since then, everything has gone wrong. I thought last year was one of the worst coaching jobs I have ever seen. Quite frankly, had I been the athletic director at Southern Cal, I would have fired Lincoln Riley because he's yet to show, after many years as a head coach, he knows anything about defense. He's gone through defensive coordinators. He just simply couldn't handle it. And now things are going to be 5 times worse in the Big Ten. On top of that, a number of his top players are bailing out. This is a guy who owned L.A. for about a half a minute. And quite frankly, next year at this time, I think he'll more than likely be an assistant in the NFL if he's that lucky.
The first year was kind of okay. He went 11-2 and then lost in the Cotton Bowl, which
was in the Pac-12. Title game.
Well, hey, nobody likes to listen to Paul Feinbaum quite like Paul Feinbaum.
I have my, and then everything went wrong at USC and they went 8-5.
Well, look, has Lincoln Riley been everything that USC expected right away? No, not necessarily. Has he been 85% of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been. Also, Paul Feinbaum, where do you do your show? You do it from the South?
Yeah.
Oh,
all you
wants nothing to do with Oklahoma or Texas, which Paul Feinbaum didn't want anything to do with until they joined the SEC.
Yeah, you're right? Also like, hold on, wait. He left because he was scared of the SEC. They just got there. Yeah. He didn't take Caleb Williams with him because he wasn't going to handle the SEC. He got an offer to go to USC and live on the beach.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Have you seen his house?
It's beautiful. And guess what? Something tells me he doesn't pay for a lot of it.
Probably not.
Yes.
But you know what? There's a lot of reaction to old Paul, including old Mad Dog.
He didn't take over a good program. They were terrible. USC was, what was their record before he got there the year before? Did they lose 5 games? Four games?
But Doggy in the transfer, I mean, he brought a bunch of players. He brought the best player in the country with
him. And won a Heisman Trophy with him.
Didn't get much out of him.
And he won a Heisman Trophy! At a place where they win Heisman with Marcus Allen and Charles White.
What did it?
Simpson.
How many trophies did he? How many Carson
Palmer.
Did he hold up?
Well, hold on now. You talk about Heisman Trophy in USC. That means everything. Carson Palmer, Leinart, Reggie Bush, Simpson. That's they love Heisman trophies, and he brought a Heisman Trophy there. That counts. That counts.
I mean, you.
They love Heisman trophies at USC.
The reason why USC is good? Come on.
It's USC. They've been around since 1910. Newt Rockney. USC. That's why. It's a much better program than Oklahoma. I'm surprised at you. Don't talk about Vanderbilt football.
That was awesome.
The first time in my life
I'm surprised at you.
I've ever agreed with Mad Dog. It's USC. It's one of the top five programs historically in all of college football.
I got to go grab that for a drop, though, too. I'm surprised at you.
I'm surprised at you. They
I love his voice.
With the proper reinstatement of Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy, I just want to highlight real quickly. Which university has the most Heisman Trophy winners all time?
What is Colorado Rockies?
Definitely not. USC, fight on. Look, was last year disappointing? Yeah, but it is what it is.
He has his things he needs to fix. He needs to, and what I think he's done by going out and getting the UCLA defensive coordinator is get a good defensive coordinator and let them coach the defense.
Lincoln Riley is now 74-18 all times a head coach. He is an 80% winning percentage.
Paul Feinbaum just wants to rail against anybody and anything that isn't in the SEC.
Which includes
What he's doing.
Lane Kiffin, but Lane Kiffin, not one to shy away.
I'll steal your line, but I was going through a deep depression over this incorrect guilt that you tried to lay on me, which preceded that move. Had something to do with Southern California.
Oh, yeah. When you got me fired at USC, I got myself fired at USC, but you didn't help.
It's a better story if I got you fired.
You really did. Because it is a true story that the athletic director and the president were on that trip. We were playing that night, and you were on college game day, and you had to make your big splash, and they were watching it, because I know the other person in the room that was watching it with them, and you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired, and they looked at each other, and later that night, I was fired.
Yeah. By the way.
Look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen, so I appreciate you for helping getting me fired. Thank you.
I mean, look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. And look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback,
too. So you're wrong on that. I mean, you like putting me down with that. So really, I don't really know what you're good at. Like, you predicted that Coach Saban was done. That didn't happen. You basically said Miley Cyrus stinks, and she's still going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's always great to be ridiculed by Lane Kiffin.
What's funny about this is
awkward.
Feinbaum tries to be like, yeah, look at Miley Cyrus. She made the comeback. And as soon as he drops the I don't know what it is you're actually good at line, Feinbaum just goes stiff as a board and closes his eyes like, you son of a... But he's also...
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Lane, just take Lane having nothing to do with Lincoln Riley. Just, you know, a little tie to USC. Just, you know, coming full circle, sticking the knife in Paul. And look, you to be Paul Feinbaum, you are going to put your foot in your mouth because you say egregious, over-the-top things every day.
Well, and you just defend the SEC.
Yeah. Defend the shield.
Paul. I love Lane Kiffin, though. Like, he kind of does have a little bit of Miley Cyrus in him, though, if you think about it. Like,
kind of hot.
Yeah,
in a weird way.
Both hot. Started off their careers as like the Wonderkind, you know, big Hannah Montana. Then they come crashing down to earth. They have this like crazy renaissance. And then now you're looking at Miley winning Grammys, and you've got Lane Kiffin. Probably is going to make a playoff.
And aren't they both married to Hots?
Miley Cyrus is not married.
Oh, she's right. She was married to Liam Hemsworth.
Both have been through a divorce.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom. Great.
That, now we're just setting up Miley Cyrus and Lane Kiffin.
I just love that you still have mugshot. Is that Trump on there?
It is.
Trump's on mugshotties. I did
Trump
not know
that. Trump's on mugshotties. Yeah, I've been scrolling through this ever since he brought it up. And
the last hour, it's been very fun.
It's the during the commercial breaks, it gets real interesting in here.
We have questions. I could change her.
Yeah, a lot of time where you just, you know, you're feeling good about your own life choices. All right, that'll do it for today. We'll get ready to head off to Isaac and Suk here next on Primetime. Will Ordner in for Dusty. I think Dusty's back tomorrow. Jeff, Russ behind the glass. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful night. Take care. Talk soon. Bye. I'm pro-segregation. I love white. It's College Football Media Days, and SEC Media Days are firmly and totally underway. And along with that means the machine that is Paul Feinbaum is getting all his takes out across college football, including taking his shots at Lincoln Riley.
I think he has an enormous amount to prove because, quite frankly, Jay, I think he's been a disaster. Let's go back 3 years. Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. It was announced at this moment in time. What did Lincoln Riley do? In a way, he did not want to deal with the Southeastern Conference at OU. He took what he thought was an easier course, so he goes out to Southern Cal. He takes Caleb Williams. Good first year, but since then, everything has gone wrong. I thought last year was one of the worst coaching jobs I have ever seen. Quite frankly, had I been the athletic director at Southern Cal, I would have fired Lincoln Riley because he's yet to show, after many years as a head coach, he knows anything about defense. He's gone through defensive coordinators. He just simply couldn't handle it. And now things are going to be 5 times worse in the Big Ten. On top of that, a number of his top players are bailing out. This is a guy who owned L.A. for about a half a minute. And quite frankly, next year at this time, I think he'll more than likely be an assistant in the NFL if he's that lucky.
The first year was kind of okay. He went 11-2 and then lost in the Cotton Bowl, which
was in the Pac-12. Title game.
Yeah. Well, hey, nobody likes to listen to Paul Feinbaum quite like Paul Feinbaum.
I have my, and then everything went wrong at USC, and they went 8-5.
Well, look, has Lincoln Riley been everything that USC expected right away? No, not necessarily. Has he been 85% of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been. Also, Paul Feinbaum, where do you do your show from? Oh, you do it from the South?
Yeah.
Oh. All you
wants nothing to do with Oklahoma or Texas, which Paul Feinbaum didn't want anything to do with until they joined the SEC.
Yeah, you're right? Also like, hold on, wait. He left because he was scared of the SEC. They just got there. Yeah. He didn't take Caleb Williams with him because he wasn't going to handle the SEC. He got an offer to go to USC and live on the beach.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Have you seen his house?
It's beautiful. And guess what? Something tells me he doesn't pay for a lot of it.
Probably not.
Yes.
You know what? There was a lot of reaction to old Paul, including old Mad Dog.
He didn't take over a good program. They were terrible. USC was, what was their record before he got there the year before? They lose 5 games? Four games?
But Doggy, in the transfer, I mean, he brought a bunch of players. He brought the best player in the country with
him. And won a Heisman Trophy with him.
He didn't really get much out of him.
And he won a Heisman Trophy! At a place where they win Heisman with Marcus Allen and Charles White and Simpson.
Carson Palmer. How many trophies did he hold up?
Well, hold on now. You talk about Heisman Trophy at USC, that means everything. Carson Palmer, Leinart, Reggie Bush, Simpson. They love Heisman Trophies. And he brought a Heisman Trophy there. That counts.
I mean, you...
USC.
A reason why USC is good? Come on.
It's USC. They've been around since 1910. Newt Rockney. USC. That's why. It's a much better program than Oklahoma. I'm surprised at you. Don't talk about Vanderbilt football.
That was awesome.
The first time in my life.
I'm surprised at you.
I've ever agreed with Mad Dog. It's USC. It's one of the top five programs historically in all of college football.
I got to go grab that for a drop, though, too. I'm surprised at you.
I'm surprised at you. They
I love his voice.
With the proper reinstatement of Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy, I just want to highlight real quickly. Which university has the most Heisman Trophy winners all time?
What is Colorado Rockies?
Definitely not. USC, fight on. Look, was last year disappointing? Yeah. But it is what it is.
He has his things he needs to fix. He needs to, and what I think he's done by Lincoln going Riley. Out and getting the UCLA defensive coordinator, is get a good defensive coordinator and let them coach the defense.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley is now 74-18 all times a head coach. He is an 80% winning percentage.
Paul Feinbaum just wants to rail against anybody and anything that isn't in the SEC.
Which includes
What he's doing.
Lane Kiffin, but Lane Kiffin, not one to shy away.
I'll steal your line, but I was going through a deep depression over this incorrect guilt that you tried to lay on me, which preceded that move. Had something to do with Southern California.
Oh, yeah. When you got me fired at USC, I got myself fired at USC, but you didn't
help.
It's
a better story if I got you fired.
You really did. Because it is a true story that the athletic director and the president were on that trip. We were playing that night, and you were on college game day, and you had to make your big splash, and they were watching it, because I know the other person in the room that was watching it with them, and you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired, and they looked at each other, and later that night, I was fired.
Yeah, by the way.
So, look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen, so I appreciate you for helping getting me fired. Thank you.
I mean, look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. And look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback,
too. So you're wrong on that. I mean, you're putting me down with that. So really, I don't really know what you're good at. Like, you predicted that Coach Saban was done. That didn't happen. You basically said Miley Cyrus stinks, and she's still going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's always great to be ridiculed by Lane Kiffin.
What's funny about this is
awkward.
Feinbaum tries to be like, yeah, look at Miley Cyrus. She made the comeback. And as soon as he drops the I don't know what it is you're actually good at line, Feinbaum just goes stiff as a board and closes his eyes like, you son of a... But he's also...
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Lane, just take Lane having nothing to do with Lincoln Riley. Just you know, a little tie to USC. Just coming full circle, sticking the knife in Paul. You to be Paul Feinbaum, you are going to put your foot in your mouth because you say egregious, over the top things every day.
Well, and you just defend the SEC.
Yeah. Defend the shield.
Paul.
I love Lane Kiffin, though. Like, he kind of does have a little bit of Miley Cyrus in him, though, if you think about it. Like,
kind of hot.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Both hot. Started off their careers as, like, the Wonderkin. You know, big Hannah Montana. Then they come crashing down to earth. They have this, like, crazy renaissance. And then now you're looking at Miley winning Grammys. And you've got Lane Kiffin. Probably is going to make a playoff.
And aren't they both married to Hots?
Miley Cyrus is not married.
Oh, she's right. She was married to Liam Hemsworth.
Both have been through a divorce.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom. Great.
That, now we're just setting up Miley Cyrus and Lane Kiffin.
I just love that you still have mugshot. Is that Trump on there?
It is.
Trump's on mugshotties. I did not know that.
Trump's on mugshotties. Yeah, I've been scrolling through this ever since he brought it up. And
the last hour, it's been very fun.
It's during the commercial breaks, it gets real interesting in here.
We have questions. I could change here.
Yeah, a lot of time where you just, you're feeling good about your own life choices. All right, that'll do it for today. We'll get ready to head off to Isaac and Suk here next on Primetime. Will Ordner in for Dusty. I think Dusty's back tomorrow. Jeff, Russ behind the glass. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful night. Take care. Talk soon. Bye. I'm pro-segregation. I love white. Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.